Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about finding deep meaning of Passover. It's perhaps the most significant memorial in all of human religious experience.
Well, it really is. When you if you compare the religious writings and look at the significance, you know, just the sheer world significance, mm-hmm. Passover was such a huge deal. And it's really only eclipsed by the resurrection of Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. But there, if you want to read about the entire story, we're not going to have time to talk about that all today, but the Hebrew Passover is explained in Exodus chapter 12, and I'll start there. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you." And you know, that's kind of stirring, isn't it?
It is. Like, wow, we're going to start a new calendar. It's a completely new day or time because of being passed over and getting out of Egypt.
Yeah, you know, it's been 400 years that they've been in Egypt, and of course that all started with Abraham. So through Abraham came faith, and through Moses came the deliverance, and also came the law. So when he says this shall be the beginning of months, it's kind of the nature of the nation now. They went down there. There were only 70 people who went to Egypt, and now they're coming out.
And you'll find out later how many people they came out with.
My goodness. So the beginning of months, that's kind of stirring. And basically, this is God talking to Moses. Now, Moses repeats this to the people, but this is coming from God. And then he does it pretty much verbatim, mm-hmm. when he passes it on to them. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel." So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. "On the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household." And I was doing a little research on this, and I was noticing that the Egyptians weren't really big on, being sheep herders.
Why not? Do we know?
I think they just kind of looked down on it, uh-huh. or whatever. I don't know if it was a class kind of a thing, but it was kind of like, just kind of a creepy class type of a thing. So to them, in the context that they were in, the fact that it would be a lamb would be an interesting choice.
The first Passover was really, really dramatic, and we're going to hit on some of those reasons today and tomorrow. We're going to talk about Passover both days, and this is the first time they were asked to pick out a really good-looking lamb and plan to kill it for this purpose. So these were all new instructions for them, with some tragic outcomes for those who didn't follow it to the letter.
Yeah, it's true. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So from the 10th to the 14th, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight.
So what's the deal with twilight? Do you know?
No.
I here, don't. I had this question thinking, Dave will know the answer. Okay, we'll keep moving right along.
Yeah.
I love all the caring and sharing that went on for families who may have had too much lamb for their size of their family, or maybe someone who didn't have enough or was poor. I just love that community feel that God just weaves into all of his kind of his commands, or his,
yes.
how he wants the civilization to look.
Well, and this is before Aaron, Aaron was appointed and the priesthood, the mm-hmm. Levitical priesthood. So they didn't have a history of sacrificing. So, if you talk to this many people, and it doesn't look like they were killing one lamb. It looks like they were killing
one per family.
Yeah, one per family. So,
yeah, like this is a new deal to them.
Totally.
What is God commanding now?
And you try to imagine what's going through their minds as it's unfolding, as they're choosing their lamb, mm-hmm. and picking out their lamb from their flock, whether it was from the sheep or among the goats.
And the best one.
Yes. "Then you shall take some of the blood," because obviously if you kill the lamb, there's going to be blood, "and you put it on the two doorposts and over the door of the houses in which you eat it." So you were to kill the lamb, and then you were going and eat the Passover meal, which he describes in detail coming up. And they were supposed to put that blood, and you just try to imagine, you know, well, what did that look like?
There are so many things that make it dramatic, because when they killed the lamb, which is just foreign to us, we go to the store and purchase it. So yes. The whole idea of
I'll have a leg
doing
of lamb,
that,
thank
but
you
then
very
also
much.
They were supposed to just sort of paint it. I mean, that's the impression you get is that they painted the sides of their doors and
brushed it. Yeah,
not the threshold, but all the three pieces around it.
Yeah, and just the imagery that's there. But I try to imagine a family, you know, having lived there now, they probably had whatever their homes looked like, and they all had residences. And so there you are killing lambs for the first time, and mm-hmm. you're out there, and you're putting blood. And I assume you would have done it as a family.
Well, it was all new to everybody, so certainly the kids were curious. And the purpose of this was so when God passed over their homes or the angel, he would see the blood and not touch or kill their firstborn. So a home could actually have three firstborns. So maybe both parents were firstborns and their oldest child. So you can see why this could be such a tragic night if you didn't follow everything that you were supposed to do.
Well, and even that in and of itself, you got the whole lamb thing and putting the blood on the doorpost, but now there's everything that went with it. This is time for the final plague, and it's going to be against the firstborn of everyone who lives in mm-hmm. Egypt, which includes the Jews, and it was only because of the blood that came from the lamb that they were going to be passed over.
Mm-hmm. And at midnight, God struck every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh right down to the firstborn of the prisoner locked up in jail, also the firstborn of the animals.
Yeah.
So. And there wasn't a home where someone hadn't died. So can you imagine the noise and the grieving? It says there's wild lament and wailing,
yeah,
but not a dog barked among the Israelites. Now that's just isn't that sort of eerie to think that you're in this quiet space and you can hear all this wailing and lamenting around?
Yeah, they lived kind of in the breadbasket of Egypt. Mm-hmm. It was called the Land of Goshen, which I always wondered where that Land of Goshen came from. I always thought maybe it was Atlantic Ocean, but it wasn't. But they also, as they did this and as they celebrated the Passover together, it says, "You shall eat in this manner." And I translated it here, dressed to travel. It says, in my version, it says having your loins girded. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what does that mean, having my loins girded?
Mm-hmm.
Dressed to travel, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it with trepidation and alarm. So mm-hmm. there was an urgency because of what was happening. He says, it is the Lord's Passover.
They were dressed to travel, which is again dramatic. And things were happening fast because that very night, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and told them to get out with the sheep and cattle. And then he adds, and bless me. And, you know, the Egyptians couldn't wait to get rid of him. In fact, I'm going to read just this last part of Exodus 12, Pharaoh called in Moses and Aaron that very night and said, get out of here and be done with you, you and your Israelites. Go worship God on your own terms. And yes, take your sheep and cattle as you've insisted, but go and bless me. The Egyptians couldn't wait to get rid of them. They pushed them to hurry up, saying, we're all as good as dead. So the people grabbed their bread dough before it had risen, bundled their bread bowls in their cloaks, and threw them over their shoulders. And the Israelites had already done what Moses had told them. They had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold things and clothing. And God saw to it that the Egyptians liked the people and so readily gave them what they asked for. Oh, yeah, they picked the Egyptians clean. And so we're going to run down some verses. But the Israelites moved on from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, plus all of their dependents. So that's where you come up with the millions. And the very last verse of this chapter, all the Israelites did exactly as God commanded Moses and Aaron. And that very day, God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, tribe by tribe.
Can you imagine even getting several million people to all follow the instructions?
And to hurry?
Yeah.
Like you always have stragglers.
And that's where the trepidation and alarm came in, because there was something happening. They knew it was happening. And it wasn't like it was the first plague. It was the last plague. So, you know, I'm sure as each one of the plagues unfolded, everybody, whether they were Egyptians or Israelites, their attention was
you
like,
you must
wow.
have become more and more alert to like something really scary, unusual. dramatic is happening.
And so God says, I'm going to go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. And that in and of itself is an interesting study.
Well, yeah, and what does that mean exactly, against all the gods of Egypt? I get it conceptually, I think, but I can't put it into words.
Well, the pagan gods under the sun god, they had all their different, you know, ways that they worshiped. And so each one of the plagues was targeted at one or more of their gods, because they didn't have the Lord God as God, so they made their own gods, the chief of which was Pharaoh himself. And that's why he was the last god in the plagues.
In the order. Okay. Yeah.
The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, how much more clear could the idea of Passover be? I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt.
Even this year, as I looked at the history of the Jews and what it means for me, one grafted in, I just love Passover. It just makes me understand so many things of the New Testament better as I read them, when I see kind of the drama and the history of the Jews and what God took them through.
We'll return to this subject at some point in the future, because there's a lot to be said about the relationship between the Jews and Christians, and you know, between Jesus and this first Passover, because obviously Christ is our Passover. But there were a number of things that happened on this night. God humbled Pharaoh and his pagan idolatrous dynasty, one god after another. And God produced the concept and introduced the concept of blood into the Hebrew faith, which he is going to amplify now and express through the sacrifices and through the Aaronic priesthood. So there's a lot that happens and unfolds. He also paints a clear picture of why a lamb's blood must be shed in order to experience deliverance.
And I think when you lived through this and then did it each year after and experienced and understood the lamb's blood, for the Jews who really understood this lamb symbolism and then believed, you know, when Jesus came on the scene, and really believed that he was the anticipated Messiah, that must have been incredible to see it happen before your eyes, to recognize that this is the lamb. We've been doing a lamb every year, but this is the lamb of all lambs.
Fast forward to the end of the chapter where it actually happens. We were talking about the part where God was promising it. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night, and he said, "Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord, as you have said." And I wrote the three words here: chilling, awe-producing, but also clarity-producing as well.
And just to understand the authority, and that they then moved from Egypt to faith and testing.
Yes.
It just sort of never ends, really, for any of us. What God does is awe-producing, and then he's never done. He wants to move us on to more faith and testing, because he wants to produce more awe in us.
Well, and this was such a huge event, not only in Israel's history, but all the nations around them. You know, as they traveled out from the land of Egypt and went into the other nations and headed for their promised land, people knew. They knew the word
got, spread ahead of them,
got around, and this was the God who delivered the sons of Israel with a powerful hand, and this is also the God who caused the plagues to fall upon Egypt, and he deserved to be considered with trepidation and alarm
and dread for those nations who didn't believe.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this as it relates to Jesus here tomorrow, when we get a chance to develop it a little bit more. Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.